Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Or should I say now, good afternoon. Hey, how you all doing? That's right. I am now on in the afternoon. Yes, so I will not be saying good evening any longer. Right, there you go. Yes, there are a few changes to the show and to my life. I have decided to hang up a few things and move on. There were too many things out there complicating my life. I just had to back away from a few things. And I still enjoy talking with you, though. And I still want to have a conversation with you. I will be doing that 30 minutes twice a week. Yeah, slowing it right down, guys. And plus, too, it's summertime. Everybody wants to be out there enjoying this beautiful weather that has finally arrived. So another reason. But I do want to share with you an article that I came across. As you'll notice in the show highlights, it's Bad Moon Over America. This is an article by Doug Hageman, and it is from the Canadian Free Press, and it was published on Tuesday, April 30th of this year. And a hat tip to Poppy, who sent it my way. So there you go. But as the events in Boston played out over the last 2 weeks, there is one fact of this administration's actions that kept troubling me. I couldn't quite see it through the dense fog of information and accusations at first, but then in the dark of a restless night after my oral surgery a few days ago, I looked skyward and asked God Almighty for some light on the big picture, because I'm a big picture, bottom line type of guy. It seemed that within seconds, the clouds overhead began to break, and out of the darkness rose a full moon. Somehow it seemed like an answer, but how? I thought about my family and friends and about my country and the world. I tend to be a little dense at times, and it wasn't quite clear to me what the moon rising on the horizon had to do with my hope for divinity and divinely inspired insights and revelations. Amid the haze of my pain and medication, I startled myself by talking out loud to the Almighty, perhaps a little too testily, for which I hope I will be forgiven. "Don't you see?" I fumed. "I'm just trying to get some perspective on our situation. How can I help people if I can't get their attention on the big problems looming right in front of us?" Perhaps it was the medication, but for the life of me, I thought I heard God chuckle a bit as I stood there, staring at the odd moonlit shapes and shadows around me. It's strange how moonlight makes the colors go away, turning everything monochrome. The dark shadows of a rising moon distort and lie about what is really around you. The buds and flowers on the oak and cherry tree branches which did seem so beautiful and reassuring on the previous spring afternoon suddenly become foreboding and stark. The slightest rustling breeze puts one's senses on edge, seeing what your imagination is hearing. Standing in the darkness, my thoughts wandered to a song from my youth by Creedence Clearwater Revival, Bad Moon Rising. The lyrics were well imprinted in my subconsciousness. I see the bad moon arising. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. I see bad times today. Don't go around tonight. Well, it's bound to take your life. There's a bad moon on the rise. I felt sick, and the thoughts induced by that rock scripture weren't very comforting. Not being one to leave fate completely to chance, I walked back inside where I could chase a couple more pills and some clear water in pursuit of my own revival. while waiting for the promised relief. I took a deep breath and badgered the Almighty yet again, clearly showing my heightened exasperation, for which I had since apologized. Please excuse my blindness, but what am I missing here? I see a full moon. How is that relevant to Boston or Benghazi? How does that tell us anything about the times we're in? I complain to God that I've written about the peril of our economy facing as this president and his administration are kissing up to the globalists and are in apparent agreement with their curses on our currency, with their proclamations that they intend to just kill the dollar. In those moonlit moments, I complained about how wrong it seemed that no one has yet to challenge the president by asking whether the statement made by a high-level Obama administration's official is truly their intent, or if this official perhaps misstated the administration's position. Perhaps we, the people, don't have the right perspective on the matter, and there is a defensible situation that the president and this administration could envision where killing the dollar was a wise alternative that could be made to make sense to the American people, and for that matter, all other people around the world who rely on a stable U.S. dollar at their country's reserve currency. I again stared. I again stared at the rising arc of the full moon. I felt a bit indignant at the indignity of the situation. I again beg God out loud, please, please help me to see the obvious, if it's actually that obvious. What am I missing here? What's right in my face that I'm not seeing? I closed my eyes for a moment, and I thought God directed a little nod to me, telling me to look again. After giving my eyes a moment to readjust, I looked back up at that full moon. In the blur, and for an instant, I was seeing double, albeit briefly, two moons. Instantly, like a silver bullet to the center of my brain, it hit me, striking me hard right between the eyes. And in a godly instant, it was clear as day. It's all a matter of perspective. The Almighty allows me to see clearly now. It was always right there, but I just didn't comprehend it correctly or completely. Now bear with me here, okay? For a moment, as my thoughts instantly went to a predicament of my friend. My friend had a predicament over some neckties that were marketed for men a few years ago. They looked conservative and relatively innocent. So my friend's mother had bought a few for him as a gift. He had occasionally worn them around and never gave it a thought until his girlfriend's mother had asked him rather incredulously if he thought it was really appropriate to wear a particular tie, his favorite until then, to a relative's wedding when they were headed as a group. She said, "All those dead heads, skulls, and naked women are really not very respectful to the sensibilities of the congregation who do not expect to be insulted by such indignities in God's house. It's just not right." Well, my friend failed to see the pictures hidden within the pictures. In his defense, he claims that a little color blindness mixed with intermittent dyslexia contributed to the problem. We were both amused that he could not see what his future and mother-in-law saw so clearly and so immediately. Upon his arrival at the church, he walked directly into the restroom where it seemed that most of the clergy and half the choir were present. There, along with the choir and clergy, he explained his plight as they all stood in front of a mirror and looked for several long seconds at my friend's tie. Almost simultaneously, perhaps assisted by the mirror's correction of his dyslexic crossed brain wires, there it was, the montage of madness hidden within the tie that his mother-in-law so readily saw. Following a group blush, my friend quickly removed his tie and entered the church. Later, he recounted that he tossed that tie and the others into his fireplace, disposing of them like a possessed Ouija board. He watched as the flames contorted, the colorfully glowing, coiled, and writhing forms until they flattened dead to the ashes. He is amazed to this day at how the obvious pictures within the picture had eluded him so completely. He had repeated the tale to me many times since, vowing that he won't be fooled again. That's how I feel now. It's all a matter of perspective, and I am also vowing to never be fooled again. Against the backdrop, I have painstakingly but purposefully detailed. I see Barack Hussein Obama now, and in the past, bowing to foreign kings and princes. And I see his officials, staff, and even the people closest to him doing the same. He pays these foreigners the dignity of his bows. But from my perspective and America's perspective, we're just getting mooned. There, I said it. We're getting mooned by the president and the members of his administration who are following his lead. But if it's not bad enough, we're also getting mooned by Congress. They won't pass the budget, but don't you dare be one day late on your taxes. They bend over and pay foreigners, globalists, and murdering Wahhabists, jihadist scammers with the sweat of our brow. They dignify their foreign benefactors' evil deeds with deep virtual bows while imposing the indignities of their mooning stench upon us in the form of increasingly invasive burdens of regulations and taxes, further hampering our ability to function as a nation. As any farm kid in flyover country can tell you, from my personal experience, you can't run, let alone move very fast, in farm fresh fertilizer muck. The deeper and wetter it is, the slower you go. And whatever you do, watch where you step. Don't let it slop over the top of your boots because the smell doesn't wash away easily. Now you might imagine that the subject of being mooned is a bit over the top and as such not suitable for decent folk to discuss publicly. Given the divine origins of my current enlightenment, however, I'll continue along with anyone so inclined to further consider my divinely inspired thoughts on the perspective we are being provided by those assuming the positions of representative leadership within our fine republic. I will, however, pause momentarily to allow any of you who feel the need to exit this article now, due to my reference to the Almighty and the angst this might have caused the atheist and even the progressives among you. Blame it on the mental damage as a consequence of my pain and medication, if you must, and accept my sincere apologies as you depart. Mental, my new word. There is, however, an interesting historical precedent for mooning, which is a bit of trivia you probably thought you could do without. The first known incident of mooning someone reportedly took place in 66 AD when a Roman soldier mooned Jewish pilgrims on their way to the temple in Jerusalem. It was near the beginning of the first Roman-Jewish war and caused a riot that resulted in the deaths of thousands of Jewish pilgrims. As we fast forward a couple thousand years, apparently, little has changed. It was 4 years ago this month that photographers and the videos were made and appeared of Barack Hussein Obama bowing deeply to Saudi Arabian King Abdullah at a G20 meeting, causing criticism by some conservative commentators who opined that his gesture was nothing more than a hillbilly's gaffe or ignorance of protocol, considerately giving Obama the benefit of the doubt. Others believed he exercised proper etiquette in that situation. I submit to you that given the events and news headlines of the last 5 years, both assertions are utterly incorrect and fatally naive. Obama's deep bow was the body language of submission, and equally disgusting as his predecessor's kissing the hand holding with his Saudi counterpart. First, let's stick with being Moon, as this action is more relevant to present-day events, including but not limited to the murderous attacks in Boston on April 15th of 2013. Can you tell me with absolute certainty exactly what happened in Boston on April 15th, 2013? Do you believe the official government narrative of all accounts of that day and the days that followed? If you question the events and the identity of the perpetrators and hold the government accountable in your position as watchman, you risk being marginalized and described with pejorative by the power elites. Yet, the bombing attack provided us with the most recent clues about what is taking place directly in front of us, as the holes in the official narrative are nearly as large as those that exist in the security at our southern border and just as numerous. Despite the many inconsistencies that can be identified and dissected, one critical aspect of the Boston Marathon bombing will provide valuable, if not undeniable, insight into the deep bow or bad moon rising. It is the account of Saudi national Abdul Rahman Ali al-Harbi. If that name is unfamiliar, it is because our government and the corporate media intends it that way. In fact, the mere unauthorized discussion of al-Harbi comes with the threat of jail for boots-on-the-ground field investigators. It is that serious and that much of a threat to the ultimate powers of government. There have been various talk show hosts who have extensively covered the account of al-Harbi, which is best example of the latest mooning of America. Therefore, I will not rehash the details here. The case of al-Harbi, however, included so many senior administration officials that this bow to the Saudis and the mooning of America was so incredibly deep that from my perspective, it appears that they were all not just bowing but grabbing their ankles. And I'll just interrupt for a minute from this article. And al-Harbi, of course, was the Saudi suspect who was rather quickly deported from the United States back to Saudi Arabia. The now infamous bow to the Saudi king was like a bad moon rising over America, much the same as the first recorded mooning by a Roman soldier that ended up causing the deaths of thousands of Jewish pilgrims some two centuries ago. It's a matter of perspective on which side of the bow you are on. Unfortunately, Americans have been mooned in favor of the Saudis, but despite ample evidence, have yet to realize it. Failure to understand the bow we witnessed has put all Americans under imminent threat of permanent brain damage as a result of hypoxia to our brain cells, the body politic of America. The oxygen deprivation that will cause our deaths is due to our elected officials, from the president to members of Congress being forced to maintain the contorted positions of a deep bow turned into cranio-rectal inversion therapy at the behest of our Saudi controllers. The Saudis, their globalist handlers, and every person on the proper side of the deep bow contortion are laughing at you while you willingly sacrifice the lives of our sons and daughters in battles that do not represent our best interests. How does that make you feel? If you're not angry, and I mean damn angry, then you're not seeing the bigger picture. From Benghazi to Boston, no one from this administration or Congress can reveal the truth. For doing so will expose the deep and incestuous U.S.-Saudi intelligence connections and common agenda. it will expose the Muslim Brotherhood inside and outside of the government, from the Department of State to military to the Department of Homeland Security. If you're looking for answers from Congress about Benghazi, you will not get them. For the captains of Americans, body politics are all involved, and all are placing us in extreme peril. They are placing all of us in extreme peril. If you cannot see, for example, that America was deeply involved in the illegal transfer of arms to anti-Assad terrorists on behalf of the Saudis in violation of international law and the misallocation of American men, women, and assets in pursuit of that agenda, then you are not looking in the proper places. How much clearer can it be that America is being used to establish a pan-Islamic empire? How much clearer can it be that we are assisting and protecting the Saudis at every turn? By dancing to the tune of the Saudi royal agenda, the way is being paved for a new armed conflict in the Middle East that will make the totality of the conflicts over the last half century tame by comparison. I'm talking about World War III. Every American administration since the early 20th century has bowed to the Saudi globalist interest, culminating to this very point in history. Does it now make sense how and why Barack Hussein Obama was selected to be in the office at this moment in time? Just follow the money, which buys influence. Now is the moment of decision for all Americans who can see the big picture. Through our words and deeds, either we compel our elected officials to think America, break free from this Saudi globalist agenda, and require them to pay us the dignity of addressing us directly, respectfully, and appropriately as fellow citizens and not subjects. Or we must draw our own deep red line in the sand. It's the American way. Otherwise, we better prepare to limber up and start our stretching exercises immediately for the next big bow in which we'll all likely be required to participate will break even the most flexible upon us. So, like I say, that is an article that was sent to me by Poppy. I appreciate that very much. It's a very enlightening article, once again. That is by Doug Hagman of the Canadian Free Press. I have put all the information in the show highlights. So, on that note, I'm out of here. I think I've done my piece for the day. I want to thank you all who have joined me today and who listen in archive. And I want to thank Kath for being here as well. Thanks, Kath. You guys, take care. I'll talk to you on Thursday. Bye.
Don't wish it away, don't look at it like it's forever. Between you and me, I could honestly say the thing can only get better. Run the place in our heart where
my fate in your hands.